Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. I don't know whether I have spoken about this topic before. And if I haven't, again, I apologize. But it's not too late to start talking about it. In this episode, what I'd like us to have a discussion about is the importance of the head and neck when it comes to doing the rehabilitation. So what is the baseline scenario and the contextual foundation or the background information? Every time there is a therapy session, and I have observed people doing some therapy session, a lot of focus is on the gross motor skills or the functional mobility retraining, be it on the physio side or on the occupational therapy side. This is particularly true when people are in the hospital. So really, when somebody got ill, the first and then the overall problem is deconditioning. And people are a little bit weaker than usual. And to overcome this deconditioning, the problem here is really endurance. And with endurance, and you need to improve that endurance, then what you need to do is you need to start doing some gross motor activity, some big movements, a repetitive movement that is sustained over a period of time. And this can take the form of getting out of bed or simple walking. That's why a lot of the sessions of therapists are focused on walking. So it's not the walking that you're practicing really when people are doing that, because people know how to walk, but it's more about building their endurance and their stamina. Okay, so that's the main reason. Unless they have lost their ability to walk and it becomes a gait retraining or gait re-education and retraining, and on which case you'll be using some adaptive aids or some tools like furniture, like a parallel bar. Anyways, going aside that, moving aside, so we digress, but that's just the background information. So most of the time people will get a person out of bed and then get them to walk. But on scenarios and situation where a person has been in bed for a long time to a point where they really are deconditioned, so they can barely move, I have noticed that a lot of therapists would still be getting the person out with a lot of assistance. Either they'd hoist the person out of bed, or that it would take three people to get the person out of bed, sitting on the edge of the bed, get them sitting down for a long period of time. Again, these are all endurance retraining, isn't it? But the one thing that I have yet to observe is a lot of focus and emphasis on the head control. Yeah. If you are going via neurodevelopment treatments, meaning developmental approaches, yeah, when you're using this, you need to factor in the development and the improvement of the neck and head control. Why is that? If you look at it from a developmental perspective, the first movement that a person will have and will need to have a control of before moving any parts of the body would be the head. So it is very important for a person to move in bed or to move the head. If they cannot move the head, then it becomes a problem. If you put them in a sitting position, their head would be bent, the trunk will follow, they can't do anything. Before a person starts to roll, it's the head that comes out first. It's the head that rolls to one side first. Remember that. So you need to move the head. You need to make efforts and you need to have sessions to move the head. Either moving the head left and right. Yeah. And that's strengthening the sternocleidomastoids, all the neck rotators. That's important. You also need to get the person in a stage where you are promoting co-contraction of the neck. And this is the best position, really, is on a prone position. But for an elderly case, you don't get the person to go in a prone position. Very seldom you can do that. But what you can do is when you're sitting about, while you are supporting the trunk, you need to move the trunk in a way that the person is righting the neck. That is very important. And how do you facilitate these things? So one is, again, bouncing proprioceptive stimulation. How do you do that? Again, you can manually stimulate the neck and the head. And it will look like you're giving the person a massage. Yeah, which a lot of therapists don't like to be associated with. So you have to factor that in. You can stimulate the neck, particularly the back, the nape region, extensor capitis, longus brevis, all of those. The trapezius muscle will have an influence on the upper part of the neck as well. All right, so these are all very important. And you can do that by proprioceptive stimulation. So that's one. You manually stimulate, you put a compression on that part. If you can put some vibratory input on the trapezius muscle, then good. Another way to stimulate the neck would be by providing a vestibular stimulation. So when a person is on the hoist, it's like a slight movement. Then again, you don't use the hoist for therapeutic purposes, really. It's more for moving and handling. But I have seen therapists who's done it. So they were using it as a mode to stimulate and to provide vestibular stimulation to the neck. And whenever the person is moving the neck and the head, the entire body, there are subtle changes in the gravity. Yeah. And that would stimulate the movement of the neck. Okay. The other thing is once the person is in an upright, sometimes when they sit on a TheraBall, you get the person to go bouncing up and down and up and down. Okay. That is a stimulation. That downward movement is providing a co-contraction to all the joints. Yeah. Particularly with the head and neck. So if you're sitting down and you're bouncing, so it's providing proprioceptive stimulation on the trunk as well, which will facilitate some tension and trunk control and head and neck control. What else can we do with the neck? If it's too complicated that you can't use a ball or you can't use a hoist or you can't use a standing sling for some hoists, yeah? What you can do to stimulate the neck is when they're sitting down on a wheelchair, you can actually push the wheelchair forward and move it in a few directions because these linear movements can actually stimulate the proprioceptors of the neck. It will stimulate the labyrinthine organs, the righting reaction. So that is very good. That's a very good intervention. So moving the person using a wheelchair. Should you transfer a person using a steady, for example, that is a good opportunity because a Sarah steady is an easy device to move around. So controlled, you can actually move the person in a linear movement in a hall, for example, and get the person feeling that movement. See, that's very easy, isn't it? You sit a person down in a wheelchair and push him forward in varying speeds. Make sure they're safe. Put on the seatbelt. That will stimulate the righting reactions of the neck. Yeah. So that's one. Again, before a person gets out of bed, they would have to turn their hand over. It starts there. Everything is moving in that direction. If you notice a person standing up, and if you wanted the person to move, what's the first movement that happens? A lot of people would think that the first movement would be the first step. No, it's actually the subtle tilt of that head forward. So what happens is there are some vestibular sensors in there, like a gyroscope, like a biological gyroscope. And that if it tips forward, it will stimulate a protective reaction of the leg, and that will get the person to put that leg forward, because they're going to fall forward. The body knows that they're going to fall forward. Therefore, as a reaction, the leg will step forward. So walking is good in some respect, but without people noticing, it's actually influenced by the head. What else? What other things that we need to factor in when we're moving a person? Yeah, vestibular stimulation. So you need to do that. You can do linear movement. You can do, if you are on the bed, for example, in preparation for their walking, just practice rolling from side to side, from one side to another. That's rolling. What you're doing here, these are all preparatory works, because it's stimulating those vestibular senses. And you need to increase the movement as well, or increase the speed of the movement. What else is happening? Have you ever noticed that a person is who are at risk of falls, or who has fear of falls, or who has fear of standing up? Yeah. What happens is, elderly person, they've been in bed, you sit them out, and when you stand them up, they don't want to lean forward. Every time they stand up, they're going to push with their legs, but they don't want to lean forward. What tends to happen is they're putting their head back, and so it pushes them back down to sitting position again when they attempt to stand up. Why is this happening? Remember, there is also a sensory, another type of sensation that is at play here, and that is the vestibular sensation. And what happens is, if it's not used and the person has been in bed for quite some time, it's not been used. So every subtle movement feels magnified. And if this vestibular subsystem is sensitive to movement, the person would feel that the slightest movement is actually a lot of movement. But in fact, it's not. So what do you need to do? You need to desensitize those vestibular subsystem. How are you going to do that? Again, through more gross movement, postural control retraining. Stimulate those vestibular subsystems. How are you going to stimulate those vestibular subsystems or desensitize it? Again, so if they're sitting down, first you need to educate them. If they're sitting down, a person, you need to educate them that leaning forward does not get them falling off the chair. For a person to fall off the chair, they need to, their base of support or their center of gravity needs to come off the base of support. And when you're sitting down, you have a very wide base of support in there, right? So it's all on the lap, it's all on the thigh bone. And even if you lean forward, the normal base of support is on S1. If you're sitting down, you lean forward, no matter how far you lean forward, that S1 is not going away from that base of support. So when you do that, when the person is bending forward to a point where there's going to be a contact, if they can do this and if they're flexible enough, there's going to be a contact between the chest and the thigh, if they flex and bend so that there's that contact.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're putting the head into, you're challenging the position of the head from an upright posture, putting them into a almost forward bent position, like where the head is facing down, then move them back up again. Move them down, move them back. So it becomes boring, doesn't it? If you do that as an exercise, if you're a therapist getting them to do like bending forward, sitting up, bending forward, sitting up. So that gets boring. So you can make this a little bit more fun by doing something like picking items on the floor. Yeah, so this is something that you can do. Pick items on the floor. And then you can put cones, stacking cones. You can do that. And then moving items from side to side. So really, the idea is to move the head. And that will hopefully desensitize it. And I know it will, but you just have to do that all the time. So that, in combination with the strengthening activities on the legs or when they're standing up, again, these subtle movements, it's postural control retraining. It's beautiful. It's really quite simple. It will make wonders. Do not spend a lot of time, or I would say, if somebody's been deconditioned, before using up a lot of resources in getting the person out and getting three people to get them standing, what you're doing is you're technically almost lifting the person. You need to make those preparatory work. And the first preparatory work should focus and should be on the head and neck. Okay? Every movement of everybody starts with a movement of the head. Okay, guys, I hope you learned a little something today. If you do, pass this on to your friends. Have these conversations over a cup of tea. Learn together, grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.